Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Female Voices in E-Commerce podcast. My name is Chana, and I'm the founder of Owl & Monk, an e-commerce consultancy in Southern Sydney. I work one-on-one with business owners on their e-commerce strategy, website design, and development. Using the right online tools and systems, we make the lives of business owners easier and create personalized e-commerce solutions that help them to sell their products effectively online. I'm also the co-founder of the Shopify Women's Network, an online community designed to empower women to confidently use Shopify to grow their brands. This is a podcast for women looking to take their idea to the world and want the knowledge, inspiration, and connection to build a business that they love. Listen to our podcast series to hear the voices of female founders, entrepreneurs, and advocates who share their stories, experiences, and strategies on how to run a successful retail business. I hope you enjoy the show. So, g'day, ladies, and welcome to the Female Voices in E-Commerce podcast. How are you both?
Good.
Good.
And today I'm lucky to have two guests to speak to from Dot Digital and APAC. I've got Arushi, who is the marketing manager, and Janet, who is head of marketing. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much.
So Dot Digital are our first podcast sponsor, who I'm looking forward to sharing their story more with you today. So today we'll be talking about female leadership in technology, responsible marketing, e-commerce trends, and more. So I've got to know the team of Dot Digital through industry events over the years, and I've helped some of my clients use the platform. So Dot Digital is a cross-channel customer engagement platform that partners with businesses who sell online. So welcome, ladies. I'd love you to tell me just a little bit about yourselves and how you got started in the online marketing e-commerce space.
I'll start first. So to all the listeners, I'm Arushi, and I, as Chana mentioned, I'm the marketing manager at Dot Digital. How I got into this space, I started as a marketing assistant at Dot Digital 3 years ago. And I was just taken aback with the amazing things the platform was doing for all the e-commerce brands. I was excited to see the creativity that I was seeing every day, brands doing amazing things through the platform. And that's what kept me in the space. Also the energy that the e-commerce brands let out was just brilliant. So that's how I've been in the space and moved my way up to being at where I am now. A little bit about Dot Digital. As you've mentioned, Chana, we are a marketing automation platform and we help all e-commerce brands and go beyond e-commerce brands as well. So for B2B brands as well, where we empower all marketers to do marketing via different channels. So be it email marketing, SMS, WhatsApp, push, we're everywhere, whatever channel is required. Over to you, Janet.
Yeah, amazing. Thanks for that, Arushi. So I actually started my career in event and experiential marketing and then kind of moved into MarTech, very much fell in love with the tech and the e-com space, similar to Arushi. And I think what I realized is a lot of companies kind of struggle to humanize marketing. So kind of made it a bit of a personal mission to be able to humanize marketing messaging in B2B and turn it into a two-way conversation, kind of putting the customer at the center of everything we do. So not only is this something that Dot Digital aims to do, but something that our clients do as well, which is something I'm super passionate about.
Welcome, ladies. I'm excited to share today that we're actually recording on International Women's Day.
Yes.
Yes.
The Female Voices in E-Commerce podcast actually launched on International Women's Day last year. So the fact that we're recording this, I'm super excited that it's been one whole year.
Happy 1 year.
Thank you. There's been a lot of learnings and a lot of amazing guests jump on, and it's just been incredible to share each of their stories. Happy International Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you. I just want to know, what does today actually mean to each of you?
For me, International Women's Day, and what's not to like about this day is there's one day of celebrating us as all women. So that's amazing. Although every day is a celebration, but it's one dedicated day where there's a celebration all over the world where all women are probably greeted with this day, and you can connect with them and you can just, you know, talk with anyone from all walks of life just on one single theme or just about us being women and our experiences. So I think that's what the day means for me.
Yeah, and I think similar for me as well. I think today is also a reminder of a conversation that we need to keep having. So yes, this is a day that, we celebrate it all, and this month as well. Although it's front of mind right now, we need to ensure that we take these beliefs and this rhetoric with us to our companies and towards each other every day of the year. So, there's 11 more months where this conversation is important, and this is just the starting point.
So I thought what we'd start with is talking about female leadership since we are celebrating this really important day globally. So Dot Digital are known and recognized for supporting women in technology and leadership and are regularly supporting initiatives like this podcast to advocate and empower women to be their best. A big thank you to both of you for supporting the podcast and to the whole team at Dot Digital for actually supporting me in business as well over the last couple of years. So I want to see, firstly, what does it mean to each of you and to Dot Digital to actually be a podcast sponsor?
So I remember, Jana, when we first got to know about sponsoring this podcast, it was very exciting at the first to know because it was all about same alignment in values that you have in your podcast and we as a company believe. So it aligns well with our values of imparting education to our customers. And I think you'll do the similar thing with the podcast by telling stories and experiences of anyone who you're interviewing. So it's also about putting forth excellent examples of women in leadership and marketing done well. So it was the reason why we first decided, this is the podcast 100% aligns with all we gun for. And that's why we went ahead and said yes to let's make this happen. And I would just say one thing we both do well is like we allow brands to tell their stories, but we take one step forward by asking the founders or the women in leadership or anybody behind the brand making it so successful. So telling those human narratives is probably another common ground that we have between your podcast and Dot Digital. Yeah.
That's fantastic feedback. I think for me, it's been really exciting to be able to give women the platform to actually tell their stories as well, because it's something that every individual we meet can actually teach us. And it's definitely been a great forum for them to actually reach out to a much broader audience and get the exposure that they deserve. Quite often, these are women that may not actually be invited as a keynote, like a keynote at a conference, but actually have invaluable experiences and learnings that they can share as well. And I just wanted to make a podcast that was very personable and engaging to my listeners. And so it was a perfect alignment to invite Dot Digital as part of that ride. So thank you, Rishi, and thank you, Janet.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us some success stories for some female-led brands that you've worked with as part of Dot Digital?
Yes. So first things, we're very lucky here at Dot Digital to be working with brands. I've come across so many of them across throughout my career at Dot that are either being founded by women or being led by women in and they're like at positions where they're just making difference for the brands. So very lucky to come across different stories, but I do have my favorite ones. So I'm just going to share a few here at the podcast. So the first one is, and I met her only a year ago, is Bryony Kennedy. So she's the CEO and founder of Odone Cosmetics. And her story is very inspiring for me because A, she's an entrepreneur and founded such an amazing brand, which guns for A, sustainability, B, building better customer experiences, because I reckon that's the only beauty brand in Australia for now who gives refillable cosmetic pouches for their customers, which is great. And that really well aligns with my values as well. But what I want to share here is we approached Bryony last year for a case study with us. And she went ahead and she told us her story of Dot Digital being great for the brand. We delivered all the results and we made the brand what she wanted today. But she went a step ahead and we appreciated that by saying that Dot Digital is not about just, delivering results. We are there helping them build the business by empowering all the education for them, for the brand. And she shared her experience of how, as a founder, she was able to, it was easier for her to empower her team via us to build those better experiences for the brand. So I would say that's one success story where she's a founder, she's been leading a team, she's been going outside and putting the word out of how to be an entrepreneur, how to lead the charge as a woman-led business. And that was just that's just an amazing story that I've always come across. So that's absolutely I wanted to share. And I would say that we also approached her for our annual flagship event. So we've got our Daughters Award, and she's the one where she stepped up and she also shared her story in front of almost 200 retailers, which was absolutely brilliant to hear, because it inspired so many other brands in the business of just going for entrepreneurship and just leading the charge with empowerment, education, and you know, gunning for everything woman-led business. That was brilliant. And I do have another favorite story, which is a short one, but it's actually from Kistearth. So I met the head of marketing, Amy Goodsell, for a webinar. And what I loved about her is that she was all right to speak about Kistearth's success story and the brand, but she said that I want to be a part of every Women's Day webinar you do, or any other webinar or any other event that you want me to be a keynote speaker for, but I want to talk about not just the brand, but how I can help like others or other women, or how I can be a mentor in just helping them build that experiences and helping them build, you know, go ahead in their career, and I can be approachable. So I would say these are the two success stories I've seen as a woman-led, A, as a founder, and B, as a person who's leading the brand and making it who it is today.
Both women are very authentic with their approach. And I think that's a really great example for our listeners to kind of see other women that are doing things really well, things genuinely, and have a partner, which is more an extension like a friend to support them on the journey, which isn't just about providing the technology at the end of the day.
Yes, I agree completely. And I'm very proud to see all these brands coming up, because as you've mentioned before, it's just brands like technology partners like Dot Digital, although we help deliver the results, but I'm glad that we're able to give them that platform, or just, you know, build that community of not just going beyond marketing. It doesn't always have to be about results or just building those campaigns. It's just building that community and just helping, giving out that helping hand, and we help in enabling that as well.
Janet, you mentioned earlier on in your introduction that you're quite passionate about personalizing the technology. So with these two case studies, is there anything you've seen or that you can mention that may be interesting to our listeners in regards to how you actually bridge the divide between a tech product and that personal experience?
100%. So if you have a look at both case studies Arushi mentioned, the common theme or the common thread here was the person behind it, right? So you can't humanize something if you don't have a person behind it who's passionate and believes in something greater than themselves. You know, at the end of the day, business is, yes, you know, our bottom line is important, but it's for them, it's not about the bottom line. It's about how they're helping people, how they're paying it forward. And when that's real, when that's authentic, that's going to shine through in every business. So the way you humanize it is, you know, by having the right passionate people in place who can actually build your brand beyond, you know, just ticking a bunch of boxes and really making it more authentic and sharing the story and sharing the screw ups and sharing everything that comes with, you know, being a brand in today's modern landscape.
Yeah, and I think for brands in particular, especially bigger brands, like they still need to have that human element to them.
Yes.
And I know with the businesses I work with, I'm constantly having the conversation about like their About Us page. You know, it's just a very minimal page, but, you know, people want to actually shop from other people and to understand the foundation of where this brand came from and to see if there are some synergies with things in common like values, such as sustainability, et cetera, on their journey. It's really important to engage on a more personal level.
Agreed.
Excellent. So I want to just briefly talk to you about like female entrepreneurship and what it means to each of you personally.
Sure. So Shanna, we actually met when I had started my first business. So it was a very different lifetime, but female entrepreneurship is something that is extremely close to my heart. You know, the whole women supporting women piece is so, so important. You know, as you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. The whole purpose of entrepreneurship, I find, is to use it as a learning experience and to use it for your personal growth and to support those around you. You know, for example, side hustles and other business running businesses has always helped me be better at my career and approach things differently. It's helped me solve problems in ways that I wouldn't have been able to solve if I just focused on the career. And Shana, as a business owner, I'm sure you'll agree that, you know, the problems we face in business are a whole new level. So, you know, not everything pales in comparison. So it means a lot to me personally, for every aspect of my life.
Yeah. I think it was a really special time kind of being able to connect a couple of years ago when you were going through that transition, because at the time, you know, I was launching the Shopify Women's Network, which was a very new initiative that we launched through COVID. So we had an online offering just to connect and engage with other women in the e-commerce space. And as you mentioned, like, business does throw you a lot of curveballs. And I know personally, being a founder and operator and the person that does the majority of things with my business as a consultant and an implementer, I've had to learn to adapt over time that, you know, all these challenges that come at me are okay, and that I've either got the skills or I've got the support structure through my network or other kind of leaders that I can look up to that can actually help me get through that. So it's a little bit of water on the duck's back now, but in the early days, it was definitely very hard.
Oh, it's rough.
And I did definitely leverage my networks to kind of support me through that transition. So, and it's 100%. Ongoing too. So, yeah.
Yes.
And what about you, Arushi? What does female entrepreneurship mean to you?
For me, unlike the both of you, I've not had a business until now. But because I've had the opportunity to have a chat with so many businesses that are being led by women, and like Janet yourself and Chana, it's just a brilliant example of how it's encouraged me to probably start my own tiny hustle. So I am at the moment looking in that regard, but I feel for me, entrepreneurship is all about getting better every day in areas where you're not getting to work at your daily job. So it's probably, that is my take on that. So even if I want to start my mini side hustle, it's going to be completely separate from my daily job, which I think is the way to keep me a bit creative and a bit also a little bit more accountable to my side hustles, because it's going to be different from my regular work. But yeah, for me, entrepreneurship is all about testing new waters, just pushing yourself, making yourself at least 1% better every day. So that's what it means for me. But all thanks to, I'm glad for the network that I've have and like examples like you both, where it's almost like it's just, you just have to go for it.
Well, congratulations, Arushi.
Thank you.
Can't wait to hear a little bit more about this side hustle. Can you give us a little bit of a sneak peek into what you're thinking?
So the sneak peek is mainly about gut health. So I'm really passionate personally about nutrition, gut health, and anything that's related to women's health. So it's going to be probably around that, but it's going to start with a blog. And then from there, I'm hoping it'll turn to something else, but I'm not sure at what at this stage. But yeah, that's the mini starting point.
Well, it's really exciting, Arushi. But reach out if you need any support along the way, because there's 100%. So many things to think about. And your gut is your second brain, as you already know. So it's a very important thing for everyone to honor and look after. And you know what? I think any advice I give anyone starting a business, if you're passionate and persistent, it will work.
Yes. Completely. I think so. That's what I've always learned from all the conversations I've had with people leading businesses.
So now what I'd like to speak about is responsible marketing. So as an e-commerce specialist, it is my responsibility to educate the businesses I work with to make better choices and create a more sustainable future through their actions, such as partnering with technology partners like Dot Digital. Can you tell me, what is responsible marketing?
Sure. So I'll take this up and I'll speak about in Dot Digital's context, that what does it mean for us as a business? For us, responsible marketing is marketing with awareness. So it's ensuring that you're not just doing stuff by the book because you have to. You're also doing it to put your customers first. Coming to the point, but if you're running a business, it's important for you to put your customers at the heart of your business so that you're building positive impact on them and the community you're both a part of. So I would want to plug in our report here, which is a brilliant report that we ran amongst a lot of customers that we surveyed. It's all in responsible marketing. and where we had about 77% of the consumers mentioning that marketing from any brand works for them, only if a brand has made enough efforts to build a trustworthy relationship with them. So I think today, responsible marketing would literally translate into building trust with your consumers. But the question again comes down to, how do you do that? So I think building that trust would be probably having a great data stewardship practice or policy in your business, because I feel that's the first point for you to look back into when you have your customer in your database and actually go into analytics and decide, okay, what does your customer really want? And then giving them that information. So responsible marketing overall for us now is building that trust and building that trust to create best practices and having a great data policy in place.
So that policy, is that extending beyond the privacy policy? So it's more like segmenting the data?
I would say best practice in every regard, I'd agree. So having the compliance policies, obviously letting your customers know how you're storing their data, if you're capturing it, how you're doing all of that, but also understanding the customer behavior in that data and just going forward with sending them the right comps that they want, understanding their preferences, segmenting them on the basis of this is what they want and this is not what they want. But it's not necessarily that your customers want to know everything that you think they want to know. Understand what they're asking for. And that's what I would say responsible marketing is, personalizing the experience to your customer.
So is that part of like a marketing data management plan, or is that something that Dot Digital automatically does through the system over time with machine learning?
Yeah, we've got practices in place. So we've got a high performing team of deliverability analysts. We've got our marketing team, our training team that helps the e-commerce brands, whoever's our customers, to help them learn the best practices. But I think the platform enough is intelligent for marketers to intuitively understand what are the best practices and then go ahead and build those segments and those personalizations for their customers.
So Dot Digital as a platform has the technology to enable it, but at the same time, your team can support the e-commerce businesses one-on-one where they need to kind of get the most out of the system?
That is correct. So it depends on the customer. So if they want an active support, we've got a 24/7 support team. So if they've got access, if they want access to that, we're more than happy to provide that to all the clients. And then they've also got the opportunity to access any of our tons of our training resources, our educational resources, and just bank upon the team on some advice as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So next question. So I was really excited to learn that Dot Digital are the first and only carbon neutral marketing company and are creating a cleaner future for our people and planet through their actions. Can you tell me a bit about this process and how you became the first carbon neutral company?
Yes. So we're very excited that we are the first and only carbon neutral marketing platform. So hoping other providers will follow. We're the first one. And this was a change driven by our internal Dot Green team. So we've got specific values to our business. And one of that primary values is being green. So, and that's led by a team that we have in place for achieving that mission. So it was born in April 2020. And this was when the business environmental champions, we've got a few in the business, came together to identify our environmental risks and then the impact that we could have a business on the environment. So that's how we decided, okay, so we definitely can forge forward with being carbon neutral. And there were like certain practices and certain initiatives that were put in place to make this happen.
Yeah, cool. And so what does it mean to Dot Digital as a brand and also to the industry to be a carbon neutral company?
So look, going green is more than just a fad for us. Every step we've taken as a business, the changes we've made, the goals we've set have been a direct result of the personal commitment of everyone in the business. We recognize that it's our responsibility, both as a brand and as individuals, to do what we can to protect the environment. And it's just an added benefit that we can help our customers as they embark upon their own green missions. You know, you see a lot about greenwashing, you know, happening in a lot of industries. And it's something that we are very, very careful you know, not to do. So it's really important that we not only talk the talk, but we walk the walk as well.
So how does a digital company be carbon neutral?
So glad you asked. So it's basically through the hard work and commitment of our people, firstly. This includes the migrating of the platform's infrastructure from physical data centers to efficient cloud service providers. Our teams have actually searched high and low to identify the cloud providers with industry-leading green credentials. So this reinforces our commitment to delivering sustainable solutions. Now, this isn't an overnight thing by any means. This is something that we have to, you know, hunt for processes and people and companies that align with the values and make sure that we're using, you know, the right providers and, you know, working with the right people to, you know, push this goal forward. So again, not overnight, but it is very much a process, and it's a process that we're dedicated to, which has helped us, you know, to hit this milestone.
So how long did this process start from the idea phase to actually implementing and getting the accreditation to being carbon neutral?
Yeah, so we started in April 2020. So that's when the Dot Green team was established, because we already had some environmental champions who wanted to make this happen. It's still a continued process, but we've got certain certifications in place now, which gives us that credibility of being the carbon neutral platform, which are actually in compliance with how we claim ourselves as carbon neutral.
And do you actually have to go through a process of renewal as well?
Process of renewal is, it's not the process of renewal. It's all about being continuing to do the same kind of, I would say, the quality of work. So making sure that we are adhering to all the standards that we've already achieved for. It's just making sure that's in place already. We can't go backtrack on that, which I think that's not going to be the case, but I think you keep on renewing it if you keep up to the standards of where you are today.
Yeah, of course, that makes perfect sense. Who is the accrediting association around carbon neutral compliance?
Yes, so in terms of sustainability, because we are ISO 14001 certified, and it's actually registered, the certificate's called ISO QAR, and it's registered with a Culmus group.
How can brands be more responsible with their own marketing, whether or not they're a small or a bigger size company?
Yeah, 100%. So I think that one of the most important things would be to understand the importance of demonstrating good citizenship. The transparency piece in business processes, you know, is so, so important. Communicating this to your customers, to any investors, to any stakeholders in the business. And obviously, you know, as we do so well, creating personalized experiences, but not at the expense of things like security and, you know, the other and your values, basically. We also suggest, you know, offering customers value in return for their valuable personal data, as opposed to, you know, just making it a cut and dry conversation, because, you know, it doesn't feel good, you know, and preparing a customer experience in the age of the now customer. So making sure that customer experiences are matching what people want and not what you think they want. So really getting into the minds and hearts of your customer and making sure that you're actually meeting them where they are and not, you know, giving them something that you think they need.
Yeah, cool. So when I work with my clients, they often don't know what to do with the subscribe button on their website. they're like, oh, do I give a discount? I'm like, no, you don't have to give a discount. That all comes back to your strategy and how you want to manage your profit. But you do need to give your customers a compelling reason why they should actually be signing up to your database, and make it very clear with your privacy policy how you're managing that data as well. So quite often I have the conversation around, you know, what kind of content are you going to be producing with your website? Are you purely marketing products, or are you actually trying to build a community, share resources such as education, et cetera? And most of the time it's more the latter. So they're trying to build like a community local vibe, as well as kind of being the expert in their field. So then we kind of recreate that call to action with something about, you know, join us to be part of our community, learn more and get access to exclusive, et cetera. Is that what you're referring to, Janet, in regards to kind of personalizing that as well?
100%. It's such a case-by-case thing. And we need to understand that, yeah, people need to work with what their customers would want. To your point, not offering discounts just because that's an easy, quick win. You know, it's not always right. You know, sometimes it might devalue the product. You never know.
Absolutely.
It's especially about the value brands. For value. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like, especially with the brands that have like bespoke products, like to be able to actually discount does devalue the value of that intimate good. And it's not necessarily a margin that they can afford based on their business structure as well.
Exactly right.
So now I'd like to talk about e-commerce trends. So Dotdigital goes beyond just offering a tech platform to work with, but also provides the retail and e-commerce industry with reports, trends, and strategies on how to use data and digital marketing to grow online. You'll often find the team presenting at industry events, panel discussions, and webinars, sharing their knowledge and insights. And quite often they're things that I've been able to take home and work with my clients as well. So I want to know, what key e-commerce trends, behaviors are you each seeing in APAC at the moment?
Sure. So before I answer that, I do want to call out what you said about, you know, using Dotdigital as a resource. I've actually, you know, had this company on my radar for years and years, and I've actually used Dotdigital's resources to learn and grow myself. So it's such a culmination, almost a full circle kind of moment for me to actually be working here. So it was kind of one of my personal goals. So I think this was years and years ago. So it's really nice to hear that you feel the same, because I've learned so much from Dotdigital when I wasn't even a part of it yet. And I think that continues even more today. So really, really grateful for that.
That's really cool, Janet. Would that be the benchmark report or a few different resources?
Oh, so many over the years. Benchmark definitely was a big one, but then just everything, you know, everything I've learned about MarTech and the space, a lot of it has come from Dotdigital. So it's always been that valuable resource for marketers, you know, across all industries, which I think is amazing. In terms of trends, however, we've noticed, you know, especially in APAC, as consumers are reacting to those, you know, ongoing economic challenges, the impending doom of a recession, they're really focusing more on the quality over quantity. So marketers really need to be delivering standout customer experiences every single time. You know, the age of that batch and blast is pretty much done. And, you know, it's not a new trend, but it's come to the forefront, you know, with everything that's happening in the world. So Dotdigital's first product release of 2023 has actually been designed to allow our clients to deliver and create these personalized experiences without breaking the bank. So a lot of our new product features, you know, you can check them out on our website as well. They actually give marketing teams the tools to optimize their technology in order to deliver those hybrid customer experiences that resonate, all while spending smarter and really cutting the fat, which I think is really important, you know, given the current climate.
I'll actually share in the show notes links to all these resources that we talk about, along with the case studies from Adorn Cosmetics and Kiss Earth as well. Arushi, have you got anything else to add in regards to trends?
Yes, I would just add the same thing. So it's all about hyper-personalization at this point, and which we're, you know, coming back to my responsible marketing and trust point, and brands can only build that with their customers, is just, you know, making sure that personalization piece is there. And I just want to explain this a little bit with an example, again, from one of our case studies. And that is a client, Flora and Fauna. So they're a vegan ethical product company. So they've got different brands under their umbrella, and they empower smaller brands to bigger brands, where you as a consumer can go. It's just an aggregation. You can buy like an ethical vegan products from them. And they always remain true to their motto of being kind to the planet, people, and animals. And the way they are building trust and, you know, delivering that personalization experience with their customers is first by tapping into where the customers are. So they know the channels where the customers are on, and they're proactively that they are on those channels, but also responding on those channels immediately if there's, you know, if a customer is approaching them on that channel. Secondly, they are choosing to educate their customers. So it's not about just fulfilling orders. Someone's come to your website, you've placed an order, and that's it. They're not doing that. So they're trying to go above and beyond by educating them what's happening with the brand, what we're working on, what's important to you, what's important to us. So they're educating them on their story. And it's also again, not fulfilling orders. They're going above and beyond and by saying, hey, be a part of this community, join a free plant workshop, or do you want to do a separate microgreens workshop? So it's all about just delivering that personalized experience to your customer and going beyond, hey, we've delivered your order, but also encapsulating them in your business story. So yeah, that's just a small example I wanted to just put forth as to this is what we are seeing in terms of trends, that you need to talk to them as a human. It's no longer, you're just not fulfilling their order.
Yeah, that's a really good case study to bring up there, Rushi. And I think for our listeners, if they haven't come across Flora and Fauna before, like, they are a brilliant brand that are leading the field. So our listeners can actually go onto Google and look at different case studies, interviews with the founder, Julie Mathers, learn about their story and just hear about how they kind of engage and personalize throughout the whole journey of building the brand. They are also a registered B Corp. They've actually banned, you know, excessive packaging from coming into the warehouse, so they don't actually send that onto their customers, and they're reducing waste. And they've got some really strict policies in place to make a much better experience for the customer, but also protect our planet as well with minimal waste, which is really exciting to follow.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what we've been seeing with our clients, and some amazing work's being done in that space for sure.
Yeah, brilliant. No, thanks for sharing that, Arushi. And then you've got a case study for Flora and Fauna on the website as well.
That's right. So we've got a video case study and we've also got a written one. So if listeners want to have a look on the website.
Excellent. So now I'd like to talk to you both just around mental health. So I'd just like to know, like, how are you protecting your mental health, staying focused and motivated at the moment? Because, you know, life is constantly changing. You know, we're kind of out of the thickness of what's going on with COVID. You're both working full time. Arushi is starting a business. Like, there's all these little things kind of pulling you in lots of different directions. So I kind of want to know, like, just how you're actually protecting yourself mentally at this time.
I can take this one, because Shanna, we've spoken about this quite a lot over the years. When we kind of first met, I had just come off the back of a pretty intense case of burnout. And I think that was a huge inflection point for me in terms of how I was running my life, my career, my business. And it just made me really rethink everything, because without your mental health and without asking for help, you're nothing. I think it's one of the most important things. Your mindset is everything in every situation, you know, regardless of your circumstances. So now I'm really trying to find a balance between doing everything and making time for myself and my hobbies, essentially reconnecting to who I was during lockdown, you know, when I wasn't out and about all the time. You know, naturally as an extrovert, it's something that I tend to forget, and just not being everything to everyone. And, you know, building that relationship and those boundaries with myself, I think, has been the most important thing in terms of protecting my mental health. But again, it's a journey, and sometimes it falters, sometimes other things take priority. But just knowing that it has to be a core value, because if it's not, you know, then burnout creeps up again. And they say it takes, you know, a couple of years to get over burnout, because you've put certain habits in place that got you there that you need to break. So it's definitely a journey, but it's a journey that everybody should be on and be prioritizing.
Yeah, it's really interesting insights, Janet. And it just sucks that you kind of had to go through that experience to realize that you had got to that point of burnout, but at least you have clarity and you're on the other side now that you can make change.
You live, you learn. Yes.
So personally, what are you doing out of the workplace just to give yourself some mental space and to make you feel good?
I'm currently planning a wedding, so Ooh. That's not exactly the most chill of hobbies, but it is something that, you know, my partner and I are doing together, and it's a lot of fun. So things like that, and obviously making time for my physical health, which had, you know, I'd kind of gotten a bit lazy, and things like, you know, writing more, painting more, and just, you know, figuring out what it is that I like again, and just revisiting that, I think, has been important.
That's really exciting. And just to talk a little bit about your heritage, Janet, you've got an Indian background. So I imagine your wedding is one of those beautiful ones that probably go over like a week or so, where you have lots of different costuming and people involved and celebrations.
Well, actually, Arushi and I have this commonality. We both have that Indian background, but we've both married outside of the culture. So, you know, having dealt with a lot of that with our families, you know, it's probably, I think it took a bit of a toll on my mental health as well, you know, just dealing with the family expectations and everything and saying, no, we want a small wedding because that's just who we are. Yeah, so it's definitely been intense, but we've come out the other side and we're finding a way around it, despite the expectations from family. So onwards and upwards.
I think you'll have a lot of fun, Janet, and the fact that you're taking ownership of the wedding yourself for the two of you, it is your own special day. I think that's really important to do and eliminate stress and to do it your way because it is your life, your wedding, your partner. So congratulations. 100%.
Thank you.
And what about yourself, Arushi? How are you protecting your mental health and staying focused?
Yeah, I think I've only recently, which is great for me, but I've recently started to recognize certain cues that in my personal life, which signal that, okay, I might need some help. So I regularly make sure that I'm taking care of myself physically because that's where it makes me feel a bit better. But also asking for help externally is something that I've just recently realized, and I do have my regular sessions with professional help as well, just in case to keep me in sync or in touch with where I am in my journey. But as Janet mentioned, it is a journey. It's consistent improvement. It's consistently making sure that you're working on yourself, but not coming to the point that it's you're completely shutting down. So I make sure that, you know, I've got those cues in place and I take care of that myself that way.
And I know, Rishi, when we spoke a little while back, you were talking about diarizing, like you had.
Yeah, so I think at work, how do I keep my mental health sane is by making sure how do I reduce my imposter syndrome is by documenting a lot of things that I do at work. And Janet called it as a brag document and I call it as an idea document, but it's just my way, or it's a habit that I have of documenting a lot of things that sometimes when you're working so much, you forget that you've done and you don't give yourself credit for. But I feel that's worked great for my mental health because I can always go back and just recheck and be like, oh, all right, I did achieve this by doing this. And this was all me, of course, with the help of, you know, everybody at the workplace. But sometimes credit needs to be given to yourself. And that's what's helped me keep sane in terms of reducing imposter syndrome or doubting any of my ability.
I think that's really fantastic. And is that... That process of recording, is that something very personal or do you actually share that and make it a little bit more public?
My document is very personal, but the idea of doing it is something that I've shared with quite a few people at work, so especially my team. I highly encourage that if you've got any ideas or if you've got anything that you've done or achieved at work, it could be small, big, doesn't matter, but it's always nice to document it because it just helps you keep check of reality. Sometimes you forget to be in touch with that.
So I was born in the 80s, so I'm still quite analog. You know, I do work in the tech space and I am an e-commerce specialist, so I do dabble in both worlds, but I still love the traditional form of taking a pen and paper to take what's in my head and put it down. And it just makes me more organized and, you know, I can reflect on things as well. So I think there is something nice about the tactility of taking it from like an idea to more something physical through the act of actually drawing with a pen or a pencil.
I agree. I go back to that a lot of times for not just my idea document, but just in general writing and writing about anything. A lot of my mini hustle ideas come through like pen and paper. So it's something I always go back to the drawing board and the traditional way of just making sure you're writing with your hand. Yeah.
And can you expand a little bit more just on the imposter syndrome and what that experience has been like for you, Arushi?
I would say it's not been, I'm just a very new person to it. So I haven't experienced a lot of it, but it slowly, you know, comes in waves, goes in waves. And that's why I think I document everything. So my experience with that has been in case I've got any doubts in regards to a certain project I'm doing and, you know, you just feel that, oh, can you make the best out of this? And that's when I go back to my document and be like, yes, I probably can. So that's been my mini experience with imposter syndrome, I'd say.
Can I caveat though? Arushi is so talented. I don't even know where her imposter syndrome is coming from. She's so good at what she does. It's insane. I'm blown away every day when I talk to this woman. It's insane. So Girl, I don't know where it's coming from, but you're doing amazing.
Yeah.
And I will tell you every day.
And I would say the same for Janet. She's the same. I would literally just say the same thing. But I think it happens to us probably because we are in such fast-paced industry, especially tech. And tech also has a lot of, you know, you've got like different capabilities, and tech is a very fast moving space, and then, you know, it changes probably every day now. It's not even every 6 months, so just to keep up with it and just to keep up with the trends and to keep up with your knowledge is probably where the gap comes, because it's only so much your human brain can take, but you still need to keep up with all the changes. So I think that's where a lot of imposter syndrome comes to us, especially 100%. In tech. Yeah.
And I've actually changed my relationship recently with my imposter syndrome, in that I've leaned into it, because at the end of the day, a mentor actually told me recently that if you are the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. So I make it a point to be the imposter in the room until I can learn as much as possible and, you know, get over that in a different way. But imposter syndrome is not going to go away. So you may as well change your relationship with it and welcome it.
That's true. It's the only way you're going to learn and adapt is showing that vulnerability. And I've said it before on other podcasts, is that I think my career and my business probably stalled for a good 3 years because I wouldn't put anything out there because it wasn't perfect and I didn't want to present it till it was perfect. And I think that was really debilitating, and I regret that time. But at the same time, I've learned through that journey not to do that anymore. So on a personal level, like as a consultant, like I have to actively go out to expose myself to challenging situations and to information sources. So I always go to the biggest events. I always talk and meet people who are keynotes because I admire them, they're leaders. And even though I'm not at that level and I'm nervous as all hell, like it still exposes me. And I've actually created some really good friendships and learned a lot along the way. So it's this fine line of kind of accepting it and then pushing beyond it, which is so challenging. And I know, Janet, we spoke about like using like digital forums like LinkedIn and how people are always sharing, you know, the party or their achievement, but there's not a lot of honesty on there in regards to the personal journey and the struggles.
Nope. Exactly right. LinkedIn is very much everybody's highlight reel. And Shana, I've seen you network at an event. You are like lightning. So do not worry about that. You're doing
Thank
great.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, I'm showing my vulnerability to you now, exposing that.
I love it.
Yeah. And Janet, you also mentioned that you're being very honest with what you're sharing on LinkedIn at the moment.
Yeah. So with my LinkedIn, if anyone will jump on, you'll see that I'm literally treating it like a very public journal. I take, you know, my audience on my journey with me. I'm sharing all my wins, all my fails, you know. Every time I've screwed up, I've made a post about it, what I did, what I learned. Haven't posted for, you know, a little while because obviously I've started this new job and I've just been like learning and absorbing. But, you know, there is more coming and, you know, I will be sharing a lot more as it comes. But you just need to start, and you need to start messy, because I promise you, the way you're thinking about your post, nobody else is.
Absolutely agree. And I think with my posts in the past, like I've overread them like 30 times. Like just, you know, just keep changing the grammar, put a space, put an extra dot, take that bit out.
Same.
But from reading your posts, Janet, like I like them because they're very raw and honest. And I feel like I can engage with you as a friend through that content. And I feel sometimes the social media feels like there's no actual two-way engagement. It's purely just, you know, person broadcasting, you reading it, putting a little like symbol, which it doesn't really mean much at the end of the day.
No.
But with your posts, I've seen there's a lot of engagement. So people are then opening up and sharing more or giving an actual one-on-one comment, which I think is nice and engaging.
Exactly right. And I really appreciate that, Shana. I'm not here for vanity metrics. I do not care about vanity metrics or likes. I care about, you know, talking to one person and building a relationship with one person. I feel like you commenting on a few of my posts is how we built our relationship together as well. And that's happened with a fair few other people. And I think that's what I'm going for, you know, that true one-to-one connection, not, you know, ticking boxes and getting likes.
And also from a like a digital SEO kind of perspective, like the analytics and the, what'd you say, the way LinkedIn processes information, it actually ranks your profile higher based on the engagement you put in through what you're sharing, how you're commenting, the ongoing engagement.
Yep. So with LinkedIn, quick little hot tips for you. You know, comments do fare better than likes, and the LinkedIn platform prioritizes and rewards original content. So if you're sharing something, always put your own personal spin on it. You know, share your two cents instead of just reposting and resharing. And you know, show your personality in there, because there is a lot of white space on LinkedIn just waiting to be used. So, you know, and not with a highlight reel, with the real stuff. So definitely a lot of opportunity there for those who want to take it.
And is it true that video content is very underutilized at the moment in the LinkedIn space?
Yes, very much so. But again, it's a comfort thing. I prefer to write. A lot of people prefer video. You know, I haven't gotten to that point in my comfort zone yet, but, you know, everybody's on a journey, right?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I love it because it's one of my chosen social media channels for what I do, but I feel it is very underutilized for individuals and brands. Like, it tends to be very, you know, corporate professional focused, but I think if you are a brand, this is a forum where you can get better exposure because it's an untapped resource at the moment. You know, Facebook and Instagram are very highly saturated, so it is a great opportunity for businesses that do want to actually put together a bit of a strategy in place and be diligent with their marketing through it.
Agreed.
Well, I think this is a nice little transition for us to talk about our favorite technology. So I'd love to hear just from each of you, just what is your favorite piece of technology, whether it's an app, theme or integration, and why you love using it.
I'll go first. So I love Instagram, although I'm also a big fan of LinkedIn, but I would put Instagram first, A, because it is a little away from my work. So that's why probably LinkedIn comes second, because it's fun, it's nice. And I think the only part that I love about Instagram is it actually has inspired me to do my own thing. So that's the one platform that's brought me to a point where I'm like, okay, I can start my doing my own thing, build it out. And I know it's oversaturated, but there's always space. So there's always space for something original. As Janet mentioned, if you post your original content, if you post your original ideas, there's always space for people to, you know, latch onto it. And you can build your community from there. So I'd say Instagram. But the tech is shiny, so it'll keep on changing for sure. The favorites change all the time.
So Arushi, are you using Instagram more as a viewer, or are you posting regularly as well?
Both.
Both?
Yeah.
And are you posting personal stuff, business stuff, or things to do with your upcoming business?
Yeah, I've recently just started with the upcoming thing that I want to do. So just started a little bit posting about that, and then also just viewing it regularly.
And it's a great way to kind of connect and engage with a community based on a certain topic. So for you with gut health, being able to kind of follow, you know, nutritionists, naturopaths, and people that are just doing like making amazing food and are very knowledgeable, it's a great way of kind of engaging with that community.
That is correct. Yeah. So that's one thing I would say 100% that I find with Instagram more than LinkedIn. But both the platforms are very different and I love them both. It's just that I prefer that one a little bit only because of the fun things that you can do with Instagram. Yeah.
And Arushi, have you just got one thing with Instagram that you can tell people is a great bit of advice or tactic that they could use to actually get the most out of the platform from your experience?
I would say, again, Instagram, if you want to get the most out of it, video is the best place. Video is the best way. I would, yeah, 100%, because that's the new way to get the most engagement. But again, it's all on what's the bandwidth that you've got to create that good type of content. Yeah.
Yeah, that's excellent. And what about yourself, Janet? What's your favorite piece of technology?
So I posted about this on LinkedIn a couple weeks ago, actually. Canva Magic Write, guys. So I love Canva, obsessed, yep. But Magic Write is their sort of ChatGPT-esque kind of function. And oh my goodness, it is amazing. There is a tutorial on the Canva website that shows you how to use it, but absolute game changer for, you know, creating design and content and everything.
And so Janet, would you say that's helpful for businesses who want to do their content themselves? So they're bringing, you know, their photography, their logos, their written information all together through Canva, but have that extensibility with design?
I think depending on the size of your business, I think it's a great resource to have. I know a lot of designers don't love it because, you know, they're purists and, you know, the Figma and the, you know, Adobe suite and everything is more their forte. But as a marketer who is predominantly a writer and a field marketer, this works really well for me because I can just get things done really, really quickly, you know, get all my brand assets together and, you know, off I go, run, I can run my ads. I can, you know, do a lot of testing really, really quickly through Canva, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's funny because my background is graphic design and branding. So I am very much purist and I do have an ongoing subscription with Adobe. So I utilize all those tools. But as a consultant working with small business, I do like Canva from the perspective that these small business owners don't have to have all the software, don't have to have all the training, because the Adobe programs are so robust, but they require a bit of diligence to actually learn how the technology and the tools work to get the most out of them. So I find Canva is a really great entry point that they can just, you know, get a campaign up and going that day and have it ready for their socials or whatever they're marketing.
Agreed.
Excellent. So I'd like to thank both of you, Arushi and Janet, for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure to collaborate with you as our first podcast sponsor. You know, you helped me actually shape the direction of the podcast and given me the confidence to move beyond my imposter syndrome to actually take my idea to the world and to build something that I'm very proud of and that I love. So I want to say a massive thank you to both of you for your continued support. And I look forward to sharing the conversation with you in the future and really, you know, promoting and sharing as much as I can from Dot Digital, because it is a product that I love using personally as well as with my clients. And I've really enjoyed speaking with each of you, hearing each of your stories and learning how you actually help businesses grow online with Dot Digital. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Anna. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to our show today. Please share this with women you know who would benefit in hearing our stories and want the knowledge, inspiration and connection to build a business that they love online. If you love what you've heard, please rate this podcast with a 5 or leave a message in the comments below. Just like giving a review on a retailer's website, your feedback gives us credibility and helps more women discover us.